Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy, GD. In this episode, I'm doing my week five recap, everything that's gone on in the NBA. We're talking about Tyrese Maxey calling out Joel Embiid. We'll talk about that, all the injuries as well. LeBron's going off of social media. We'll talk about that also. And Draymond's at it again, so you know I got to get on his case. And so much more. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello again, everybody. It's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, we are now into week six, which means week five recap is here. So all the news that fit the print for the week. So we will get into it. So with that said, let's do it. So we're going to start, as we always do, guys, with my players of the week. And players of the week in the East, how about Giannis Antetokounmpo, guys, for the Milwaukee Bucks? Giannis had one heck of a week, guys. 32.5 points. He averaged nearly 11 rebounds and over 7 assists per game. Shot it magnificently from the field, over 61%. Free throw line, you know he has his struggles there. Out of 42 attempts, he missed 17, guys. Wow. But nonetheless, a great week for Giannis. His team went 4-0, so it seems like Milwaukee Bucks are catching fire now. They beat Houston, Chicago, a game which he had 41 points, 9 rebounds, and 8 assists. Indiana they beat, where he dropped a triple-double with 37 points, 11 assists, and 10 rebounds. And then he beat Charlotte as well. So Giannis Antetokounmpo, balling, guys. He is balling. He played 4 games during the week, so you take that, especially if you're in fantasy, guys, like myself. And you have him on your team, you're happy to see he showed up for all 4 games during the week, guys. So Giannis Antetokounmpo, player of the week for the Eastern Conference. And then in the West, they must have had a tough time figuring out who to pick, but I saw this name, I was stunned. How about Harrison Barnes, guys, for the San Antonio Spurs? He averaged over 22 points per game, nearly 9 rebounds. Shot it great from the field, guys, almost 62%. 9 of 15 from 3, and then he was 16 of 22 from the free throw line. His team went 3-0, guys, and they had some stellar wins that week. They beat OKC, all these games at home, OKC, the Utah Jazz, and the Golden State Warriors. So he had 2 strong teams and then a bottom dweller there. And then, mind you, guys, 2 of the 3 wins were without Victor Wembanyama, who missed a few games. I'll talk about that later. But Harrison Barnes, your player of the week. Now, you could have made an argument for James Harden, guys. His team went 4-0 for the week. He was the catalyst. Over 20 points per game, 9.5 assists, 5 rebounds. Didn't shoot that great from the field. He was okay from 3, and he only missed 1 free throw. He went to the line 36 times. And his team beat Golden State. They beat Orlando Magic, Sacramento Kings, and the Philadelphia 76ers. So you could have made an argument for Harden, but they give it to Barnes, surprisingly so. So kudos there. And then in the East, you could have made a case for Franz Wagner, who would have ended up winning it 2 weeks in a row. He had a strong week, guys. But in the end, they give it to Giannis, who deserves it nonetheless. So with that said, guys, that's your player of the week. And Harrison Barnes for the Western Conference. All right, let's get to the stories, guys. Top story, of course. Boston hands the Cleveland Cavaliers their first loss of the season, guys. And they do it at home in a game that was very nip and tuck, guys. I was able to catch the end of it. Now, at halftime, Boston was leading this big, 65-42. And then Cleveland has an outstanding third quarter. And then the fourth quarter was just playoff basketball, to be honest. But when all is said and done, the Boston Celtics prevailed in the end. Cleveland had their chances. You had Donovan Mitchell with a Herculean performance, but it wasn't to be, guys. So with that said, the Boston Celtics hands the Cavaliers their first loss of the season. So there's that. For the game, Jason Tatum continuing his march towards an MVP. 33 points in this game, guys. 12 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals. Al Horford goes into the Wayback Machine. He has 20 points along with 7 rebounds. Oh, by the way, of Jason Tatum, 33 points. He sinks 6 three-pointers with that. And Al Horford's 20, he knocks down 4. And then Derek White, guys, solid all around. Oh, and Horford had 3 blocks. Also, Derek White, 19 points. He dropped in 4 threes for himself, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists. And on the losing side for the Cavaliers, like I said, Donovan Mitchell, 35 points for him, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. Evan Mobley, who's continuing his solid season, 22 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. And a double-double for Jared Allen with 10 points, 11 rebounds. Darius Garland with a nightmarish game. 8 points, guys. He shot it 3 for 21 from the field. Man. 0 for 6 from 3. He did have 7 assists, but Darius Garland bottled up by the likes of Drew Holiday, who you know had the assignment on him, but Garland put in lockup by Drew Holiday. So Boston hands them their first loss of the season. Let's move on. Tyrese Maxey calls out Joel Embiid for his constant lateness to meetings. So here's what went down, guys. There was a players-only meeting called by veteran Kyle Lowry following a November 18th loss to Miami, a game in which they got blown out, guys, 106-89. So during that meeting is when, you know, the players started calling individual players out, that kind of meeting it was. And then Tyrese Maxey singled out Joel Embiid and said he's late for everything and that he needs to be mindful of that and how it impacts the locker room. And, I mean, is Tyrese Maxey wrong? You know, the team's going to follow its leaders. And if Joel Embiid, a league MVP, is going to be a leader of this squad, he has to lead by example. He has to be on time for meetings, and he has to basically show up and be an example. So Tyrese Maxey's not wrong. He's not wrong at all in this assessment here. The details of this meeting was actually leaked to sources in the media. So it was a players-only meeting, but what happened in it, somebody spilled the beans. And that prompted Joel Embiid to lash out at the person who did it, saying that that person was a piece of, we'll say, dog poop. But you can figure it out. So Joel Embiid basically called out that person. Now, you know, there's a lot of things, people saying stuff about, oh, how could this person leak it and this and that. The person did it to, I think, in essence, to draw attention to Embiid, maybe light a match under him. Probably so. But when those sort of things happen and that kind of news gets out, there's a reason. Just like, you know, a few years back with the Draymond punch in the locker room. That got out. In fact, the video leaked out. So, you know, if people want to get stuff out, they'll get it out. So, but whoever the player was leaked it, and there you go. And then also, too, the players also said about Coach Nick Nurse that they want him to coach. They want Nick Nurse to coach them harder. And then in return, the players must practice with purpose and with attention to detail. So basically, it was a kind of a back and forth between the two sides, whether it be the coaching side or the playing side. So, hey, they're going to have to do something. They're reeling right now, guys. They are struggling mightily. They're dealing with a myriad of injuries. I'll talk about that in one second, but they're going to have to do something because things aren't looking good for them right now. Right now, the team with a worse record than them is the Washington Wizards, and that's not good company to keep, guys. So that's the thing with the Maxey calling out Embiid. I say bravo to Maxey. You know, you got to be able to call your teammates out, especially when they're not doing what they need to do, especially somebody in the position of an Embiid who should be leading in that locker room. So kudos to Maxey. All right, so let us move on, guys. Injuries. We'll talk about those. And speaking of the Sixers, Joel Embiid, with the swelling that he has in his knee, he was out the past two games, and he's to be reevaluated this week. From the early stuff I'm hearing, guys, him and Paul George could be back this week. So keep your ear to the pavement as far as that goes. So we will finally get all three of them on the floor at the same time. That's the way it's looking, guys. So we'll see. And kind of putting the cart before the horse, Paul George hyperextended his knee and basically diagnosed it as a bone bruise. And he did that in a 117-111 loss to the Memphis Grizzlies. And thus, he ends up missing the next two games. But, like I said, he could be coming back this week, guys. So that's good news for the Sixers because they need to get out of the rut they're in. Right now, they're 3-13. Not good, guys. So they need to get out of this rut quick, fast, in a hurry. And then add on to that, Kyle Lowry's going to be out the next three games with a hip strain, and he's going to, well, he missed three games, so he's going to be reevaluated. So you add Lowry to the mix, and the Sixers, they're dealing with a lot right now. So hopefully this week they get some of those guys back, and then you kind of get to right the ship because you can't sink any lower, guys. Otherwise, they'll be, you know, a tough climb up, that's for sure. So that's the Sixers, guys. Let us move on. Deuce McBride, guys, he's been out the past five games with, get this, a patella femoral syndrome. And that's in his knee. So I never even heard of that till I had to look it up. So he's been missing the past five games, guys. So the Knicks have been looking to the likes of a Cameron Payne, who's been playing well in his absence, and Tyler Kolek, the rookie from Maryland. So they've been kind of holding the fort until McBride gets back, especially Payne. Payne, I told a buddy of mine, Omar, a friend of the show, that Cameron Payne, I liked the addition of him when they got him off of free agency. And I think he's a guy who quietly, he's a solid player. He's a pain in the neck, especially if you're opposing him. But if he's on your team, you love him. So he's that type of guy. But it looks like he could be returning possibly tonight against the Denver Nuggets. So we'll see what happens with that, guys. But Deuce McBride could be back tonight. We'll see. Norman Powell, he's been out three games, guys, with a hamstring strain. He aggravated that in a November 18th win over the Golden State Warriors. So Norman Powell out the three games. So even put that on top of what Harden did for the week for that team. Still keeping their head above water without Norman Powell, who's been playing great, guys. He leads them in scoring, by the way. So, but Norman Powell, hopefully they get him back soon. We'll see. Luka Doncic, he's going to be out a week, guys, with a wrist injury. He's already missed two games and counting. So he missed one game, then he's going to miss the game on Monday. So we'll see what happens. So, of course, you have to ramp up a guy like Kyrie Irving. He'll be a guy who probably carry the bulk of the scoring. Maybe you'll get some more scoring from a guy like PJ Washington. Maybe he can help out in that regard. But the onus will fall on Kyrie, that's for sure. So hopefully they get Luka back soon from his wrist injury. De'Anthony Melton for the Golden State Warriors, he's out for the season, guys. Torn ACL. It was actually diagnosed initially as a knee sprain, but they later discovered when they went to reevaluate, yeah, we kind of misread this here. It's a torn ACL. So Melton out for the season, guys. This is kind of a blow to the Golden State Warriors. I know people say, oh, it's just De'Anthony Melton. What's the big deal? But no, that Golden State bench has been solid, and he was one of the contributors on that bench, guys. So definitely a kind of a blow for the team. So more than likely now, you have to turn to the likes of a Gary Payton II and hope that he can have a larger role in filling the shoes of a Melton. But kind of a tough blow for the Warriors, so we'll see what happens there. Grant Williams, guys, with the Charlotte Hornets, he's out for the season with a torn ACL. And he suffered that on Saturday, guys, in a Saturday loss against the Milwaukee Bucks, in fact. And it happened during the fourth quarter. So Grant Williams, a guy who was actually playing power forward and center, guys, because you're already without Mark Williams, who hasn't played yet this season. Nick Richards, he just recently went down. So you have a dearth. You have kind of a lack there at the center position. So you're probably going to have to look to the likes of a Musa Diop Bate. You got to look to him. Tijane Sulon, the rookie there. I actually talked about him when I did the season preview. So you get a longer look at the rookie. Maybe he could give you something. And then Taj Gibson. So those are your big men you'll have to rely on with Grant Williams now out for the season. So speedy recovery to both Grant and D'Anthony in that regard. And then the last one I'll talk about as far as injuries, Cade Cunningham, guys. He has an awful fall at the end of regulation of a 123-121 loss in overtime. And that was at the Charlotte Hornets. So as of now, he's missed two games and counting. So we'll see what happens with Cade Cunningham. Cade Cunningham, who you heard me talk about him, he's had a very good year thus far for the Detroit Pistons. Detroit's been pretty competitive, guys. So this is kind of a blow to them. You know, you'll probably have to get guys like Jaden Ivey to step up, maybe a Tobias Harris in that regard. But Cade Cunningham, kind of definitely a blow for the Pistons. Remember, guys, he's been going through injuries the past couple of seasons. So you were hoping this year, the fresh Cade Cunningham. Hopefully this is minor. You know, he'll be back in the lineup soon. So we'll see what happens. Now, as far as people coming back from injury, Nikola Jokic, guys, he makes his return after missing three games for personal reasons. We still don't know what those reasons are, but it is what it is. He missed the three games. He came back for a November 22nd loss to the Dallas Mavericks, guys. In that game, of course, drops a triple-double. 33 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists. So I know the team's happy to have him back. If you play fantasy basketball like myself, you're happy to see him back on the court because your team probably struggled last week. So you get him towards the tail end of the week, you take that. Victor Wembanyama, he makes his return back to the lineup. He missed three games with a knee contusion, and he comes back for a November 24th, just yesterday, a win over the Golden State Warriors, guys. And in that game, he returns 25 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds, and 3 blocks. So if you have him in fantasy, you're happy to have him back, that's for sure, with the kind of pinball numbers that he puts up. But definitely the San Antonio Spurs are glad to see their big man back in the fold. Scotty Barnes, guys, he makes his return from an eye injury, guys. And remember, he missed quite a few games there. And he comes back on November 21st in a win versus the Minnesota Timberwolves, 123-120. And in that game, he has 17 points, 6 assists, and 3 rebounds. So Scotty Barnes back for the Toronto Raptors. And guys, from what I hear, he's playing the point, he's playing your like your point guard position, but more like a point forward. But Scotty Barnes back. And I tell you what, guys, if Toronto gets all their pieces back, like a Emmanuel Quickly as well, this team could be a fly in the ointment, I think. Because they've been playing well this season thus far. They've been competitive, so getting Scotty Barnes, definitely a plus for them. And then this news just came down the pike, guys. Kristaps Porzingis, to make his season debut tonight versus the LA Clippers, guys. He's missed the first 17 games with that leg injury. But Kristaps Porzingis, definitely a sight for sore eyes for those Boston Celtics. Of course, Boston's holding their own right now, but to get a Porzingis back, it's like a feather in your cap. So Kristaps Porzingis could make his debut tonight, so keep an eye out for that. All right, guys, so that's all your injury stuff. Let's run through these top performances right quick. Some of them I already talked about, so I don't even have to go there. Let's talk about, kind of go in chronological order. On Monday, November 18th, Jalen Duren for the Detroit Pistons, he drops a double-double, a big one. 15 points, 22 rebounds, guys. But he does it in a loss to the Chicago Bulls, and that's on the Monday. So Jalen Duren, their rugged center over there, having kind of a monster game inside. Jakob Poeltl, who's having a fine season thus far, guys. He puts up a 30-point, 15-rebound performance. Add to that two blocks and two steals in a win on that Monday versus the Indiana Pacers. And actually, that's a game in which Pascal Siakam returned home to, because, of course, Pascal Siakam, longtime Raptor who gets traded to the Indiana Pacers. So he returns back. He has 25 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, and a loss. But R.J. Barrett, guys, he's been balling this season. He dropped 39 points in that game along with 9 rebounds and 5 assists. R.J. Barrett's playing excellent ball. This is why I say, guys, Toronto could be a fly in the ointment. Keep an eye out for them as the season progresses, especially if they get all their pieces back. Trae Young, in a road win versus the Sacramento Kings, also that Monday, he has 7 points, only 7 points, but 19 assists, guys, in this road win. And then for the losing side, how about Keon Ellis? 33 points, and he had 9 threes in that game. Wow. Very nice. But in a loss for the Sacramento Kings. Dalton Connect. Here's another guy who drops 9 threes in a game, which is actually a rookie record, they're saying. And he does it on a Tuesday, November 19th, in a win versus the Utah Jazz. So Dalton Connect dropping 9 threes, thus having 37 points in that ball game, guys. And then also LeBron and AD, they have 26 points apiece. Look out now, guys. The Lakers kind of back on the track. So we'll see what happens with them. Moving on to, I believe that this was also on Tuesday, Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson, guys, they combined for 70 points in a 138-122 road win versus the Phoenix Suns, guys. So Brunson has 36 points along with 10 assists, and Karl Anthony Towns, 34 points with 10 rebounds. So you have a double-double, over 30-point double-doubles by two guys. And I think that's never been done. A Nick duo has never done this? Wow. I think that was the graphic I saw when I was watching it on MSG. I was like, wow, that's crazy. But Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson, guys, a dynamic duo for the New York Knicks, who seem like they're getting their footing a little bit as far as getting to know one another. So, you know, all the changes they make, you got to give that time, but seems like they're starting to gel. So good things coming for my New York Knicks. Bear that in mind. So let's move on. And then the following night, Brandon Miller and LaMelo Ball combined for 73 points in an overtime win versus the Detroit Pistons. And that's on November 21st. 38 points for Miller, along with 7 rebounds, 4 assists, and 4 steals. And then for LaMelo Ball, 35 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. In the loss, Kay Cunningham, I want to say that was his last game. Yeah, 27 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds, and then Tobias Harris with 26 points. Scottie Pippen Jr., guys, he has a career-high 30 points, along with 10 assists and a road win, and that's on a Saturday, guys, versus the Chicago Bulls. In Chicago, a place where his father made his bones, Scottie Pippen, and the son goes there, drops a 30-point double-double. So kudos to the young man. He seems to be playing very well. I say look out over there for the Memphis Grizzlies. The way this kid is playing, with the confidence he's playing with, I would keep a close eye on the guard situation over there with Ja Morant, with Marcus Smart. I would keep a close eye on what's happening there. Don't be surprised if a little shakeup happens. But Scottie Pippen Jr., balling, guys. Then Jalen Wells, his teammate, 26 points. And then in the loss, Zach LaVine, 29 points. And Nikolai Vucevic, 26 points for him. LaMelo Ball, speaking back of LaMelo Ball, he explodes for 50 points, guys. And within those 50 points, 6 three-pointers, along with 10 assists, 5 rebounds. But he does it in a loss on the road against the Milwaukee Bucks. And that was on Saturday night, guys. And for the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis, of course, 32 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. Of course, your player of the week for the East. And then Dame Lillard, he drops 31 points in that game. And then the last one I'll talk about, Jakob Poeltl pulls down 19 rebounds, guys, along with 12 points and 2 blocks, and they rolled the loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And, guys, Cleveland right now, they're undefeated on at home. They're 10-0, guys. So they're taking care of business on their home court. And for the Cavaliers, Donovan Mitchell, of course, 26 points for him. And then Jared Allen with a 23-point, 13-rebound double-double for him. But Jakob Poeltl, I believe he's top 5 among all rebounders. He's having that kind of year, guys. So that's that. All right, guys, let us move on. Draymond Green, your buddy and mine, he gets on his podcast, guys, and says people want to see him get suspended to drum up interest in the league. I want to play you the sound. Hang on 1 second. And here's what he says.
Draymond Green says people want to suspend him because NBA ratings are low.
The ratings is low. We know Draymond name sparks buzz. We know that name carries weight. We know that's going to get people riled up.
Controversy.
Hey, man, ratings low. And sub in Draymond shit.
That's enough of that. So, Draymond feels that the some people have the mindset of suspending him because the NBA ratings are low. Now, let me talk about the low ratings and all that first, and I'll deal with Draymond. Every year we hear this talk constantly. Oh, the NBA got low ratings, this and that. You know, you can blame it on a myriad of things. You want to blame it on people being more interested in football, this, that. You had an actual presidential election. You want to put it on that. That's fine. I think it's just, you know what it is? It's so many ways to consume the NBA these days, whether it be on linear TV, you could do that. Streaming, you could do it through the app. You could do it through, you know, if you have the Fire Stick, you could do it that way. You got Roku, you could do it that way. There's so many ways to consume the NBA. It's hard to get a true figure. So I think that could be it. You know, people want to say, oh, they're shooting too many threes. That's why no one's interested. Here's my thing, though, when people say that kind of stuff. Are the arenas empty? Are the arenas empty? Because I say they're not. Unless, you know, you're one of these teams that's towards the bottom there. But people still come into the games, guys. They're still filling the arenas. People are buying the merchandise. So what are we really talking about? TV ratings? It's hard to assess because, again, the way people consume their basketball. So I don't even want to say it's all that. You know, that's for the media, the journalists, the eggheads to kind of figure out. But I don't think it's that. And then, you know, people say, oh, once Christmas comes, people start paying attention to the league. Could be that too. And thus why they have this NBA Commissioner's Cup, the Emirates Cup, to kind of drum up interest early, you know. So there's that. Now to Draymond. Again, what do I always say about Draymond? No accountability. No accountability for his actions. I talked last week about him grabbing Zach Edey by the ankles. And, oh, by the way, I wasn't going to talk about injuries. Zach Edey's been out 3 games, guys, with what? An ankle sprain, guys, that he got the game after the game with Golden State. He got that during the game versus the Denver Nuggets. So I don't think it's any coincidence that Zach Edey now has an ankle sprain. I think a lot of that play, what happened with him and Draymond Green, plays into what happened the following night. So if the league were to suspend him, I'd say fine. You probably should suspend him because look what happened as a byproduct. I know people will say, oh, it didn't happen in his game. I could give you a fair example of that. Our guy, Mitchell Robinson, for the New York Knicks. In the playoffs, when we played the Philadelphia 76ers, Joel Embiid grabbed him by the ankles. He was able to play out that game, and he was able to play the next game. And then it came later that he was ruled out because of an ankle sprain, which was a byproduct of what Embiid did. So you could say that Zach Edey injury he has is a byproduct of what Draymond did. So the league would be within its rights to suspend Draymond if they wanted to. So for Draymond to cry victim, you can miss me with that, man. Draymond, read the room, man. Your team is playing well. They're on the right course. You need to stay on the court. This is why I said, I don't think it's over with this guy because he can't help himself. He can't help himself. He can't contain himself. I hate to say, I think it's just a matter of time. I think it's just a matter of time before he goes off the deep end. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, guys, because he does so much for that ball club when he's on the floor. But he has to be on the floor, guys. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Everybody knows what he brings to the team. He knows what he brings to the team, yet he puts himself in jeopardy. So I don't want to hear you play victim, Draymond. I don't want to hear it. Just show up for your teammates. That's all anyone asks of you. Show up for your teammates. That's all I'm going to say on that. So that's the deal with Draymond. Let's move on. Russell Westbrook, he posts his 200th career triple-double. And he does this in a game versus the Memphis Grizzlies on the road. And he does it on November 19th, guys. And this is what he has. 12 points, 14 assists, and 10 rebounds. In a 122-110 win. And this is his first with the Denver Nuggets. I'll give you a breakdown of his triple-doubles for his career. With OKC, he has 138. With Washington Wizards, 38. Los Angeles Lakers, 14. Houston Rockets, 8. The Los Angeles Clippers, just 1. And then the one he got recently with the Denver Nuggets. So, Russell Westbrook in rarefied air, guys. As the only player with that amount of triple-doubles. Of course, second is the big old Oscar Robertson with 181. Then you got the likes of a Magic Johnson with 138. And actually, Nikola Jokic, the Joker, can actually tie Magic with his next triple-double because right now he has 137. Then you have a LeBron who has 117, Luka, he has 77, and then you have Domantas Sabonis with 61. Do I think somebody's going to catch Westbrook as far as triple-doubles go? I say all records are made to be broken. I think it'll be a while before we see it. The Joker probably has the best shot at catching Russell Westbrook at this time, depending on how long he wants to play, guys. Because remember, the Joker, he can go back home to his country and play with the ponies like he loves to do. So, I think he has a shot. I want to say Luka, but Luka just comes up with these injuries here and there. So I don't know if he's going to stick around long enough. Domantas Sabonis, I don't see that with him. You want to tell me LaMelo Ball? I have to see him for a prolonged period of time before I even mention him. So I think this is a record that could stand for a while. If the Joker doesn't do it, I think it'll stand for a while. So we'll see what happens there. Let us move on. The NBA All-Star Game, guys. You've heard me lament about it. You know, what happened in last year's All-Star Game. I did an episode where I talked about fixing it. And I mentioned possibly them adopting the model of the Rising Stars, taking a page out of their book. And it seems like, guys, that's exactly what they're doing. So they're going to change their format for 2025. It's going to be four teams, eight players per team. It's going to be three all-star teams, basically three teams of eight. And then the fourth team is going to be the winner of the Rising Stars Challenge. So it shakes out like this. It's going to be two semifinals games that's played. The first team to 40 wins. And then your final where the first team to 25 wins. So they're doing this this way to spark up some excitement, some, you know, some get up and go as far as these guys being motivated to play. And I'm sure they're going to play for charities and all those sort of things. Here's my issue with it, though. Your Rising Star winner basically has to play two games on Friday night. Then they stick around for Saturday. Then they'll play Sunday with the possibility of playing two more games. So does that give them an advantage or a disadvantage? I say it's an advantage because you already proved you were able to get it done on that stage as far as the Rising Stars. And you probably have a little more camaraderie than the guys that's playing in the, well, probably not if there's a Saturday practice, but you'll have two games under your belt. So that's the part of it I'm not figuring out. I think the NBA could have just, I know it's sacrilege, but they should have took 32 of their players and had them play in these and not involve the Rising Stars, because that's different. That's over there. So I don't agree with that. And then I have two questions. Who coaches the three teams? How do you figure out who does that? Because remember, in the past, it was rewarded to the top team in the East, the coach there, and then the top team in the West, the coach there. So how do you figure this out now as far as the three teams? Will it actually be a coach, the NBA head coach, coaching it? Because for the Rising Stars, it's usually I would say a celebrity coach, but a player, a former NBA player or a former WNBA player, because I believe when they were in Indiana, it was Tamika Catchings coaching one of the teams. So you have that. And then my second question, how do the players get slotted to each squad? Is there a draft where the three head coaches are drafting the players? How is that going to work? So a lot of questions to be asked, but do I like the format change? I do in a sense. The Rising Star part of it doesn't make sense to me. Just pick 32 guys and just go with that. I understand, you know, that go against everything that Adam Silver stands for, but I think to make it fair, it should be that way. But what do I know? So, and then those two questions there. So we'll see what happens as the details come out. Of course, you know, I'll talk about it. A couple more things and then we'll close, guys. Fred VanVleet. Fined, guys. Fred VanVleet for the Houston Rockets. He was fined for profane language towards the refs. And they fined him $5,000, guys. And it happened during a loss on Saturday, November 23rd, to the Portland Trailblazers. And actually, I saw a clip of what he said. Of course, I cannot repeat what he said, but yeah, I mean, it was warranted for what he did for them to assess him because he got a tech in the game. So they assess him with a tech and then he just goes ballistic and then believe he gets tossed as well. But Fred Van Fleet, $50,000 lighter in the pocket, thanks to Joe Dumars and the Sars, as far as the discipline in the NBA goes. Hubie Brown, guys, this is going to be his last year broadcasting, guys. He's been doing it from 2024. Well, no, I'm sorry. He's doing it for the last year, which is 2024-25 season. Hubie Brown's 91 years old, guys. Wow. Wow. He started coaching in 1955 on the high school level, guys. Then 10 years later, he begins as a college coach assistant on the staff at William & Mary College, and that's in 1965. He will become a pro coach in 1972, added to that staff for the Milwaukee Bucks, a team that ended up eventually winning a championship with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and with Oscar Robertson over there. And then his first head coaching job came in the ABA with the Kentucky Colonels in 1975. His first NBA coaching job would be in 1976-77 season with the Atlanta Hawks. He started in TV, guys, in 1985. And he excuse me. He had his stints with Turner Sports calling games for them. And then he moved on in 2005 to ABC, doing the games there. And he's been doing it ever since. So he's a Hall of Fame contributor, guys. He was inducted in 2005. He's had a tough 2024, guys. He lost his wife, Claire, in June. And then, remember, guys, I think it was last week I talked about his son, Brendan Brown, him passing away. So, very tough year for Hubie, but he has decided after this season, he's going to hang him up. So, of course, you know, I'll be doing my tribute to Hubie Brown at some point. So, Hubie Brown, his last hurrah will be this season, guys. LeBron James, guys, he says he wants to get off of social media. And this comes as Kevin Durant's agent, Rich Kleiman, he's basically said he's getting off of places like Twitter and whatnot. So here's what Rich Kleiman said. We can all acknowledge that sports is the last place of society that universally brings people together. So why can't the coverage do the same? It's only clickbait when you say it. When the platform is so big, you can make the change and allow us all escape from real life negativity. I, for one, find it all a waste of breath. So LeBron, he pretty much did a screen grab of that, and he put his little caption to it. Damn shame what it's come to. And also, he did his own tweet. And with that said, I'll holler at y'all. Getting off social media for the time being. Take care, y'all. So that's what LeBron said. Yep. So, and this came on the heels of him praising Dalton Connect. I talked about the game that he had, and, you know, he basically said that the Lakers finally listened to him as far as drafting a guy. He wanted them to draft Dalton Connect, and everybody called him a liar, all kind of stuff. So that prompted many to make their comments about it. A lot of people saying LeBron brought this on himself. Stephen A. Smith on his podcast, he said it. And then I listened to The Odd Couple with Rob Parker and the Kelvin kid. And, you know, the Kelvin kid, he brought up a myriad of reasons. Of course, Rob Parker, he's saying he's doing it because of LeBron's son, all the criticism he's getting that, you know, he's getting off of there because of that. I offer up something different than mostly everyone else. I think, and I'm seeing it amongst the circle of people I know, there's this mass exodus off of Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. Basically, they changed their terms of agreement, or, you know, those terms that you have to agree to. They changed that, and it's so much so that it kind of leaves you at peril if you're if you have a page on there. So I think a lot of people are getting off of Twitter for a lot of reasons, but I'll leave that alone. But, and me, myself, I'll speak for myself. I don't have any use for Twitter, to be honest with you. I put my episodes up there. I've taken all my episodes down off of Twitter. I'm in the process of just not even having Twitter on my phone, period. I don't have a need for it. I'll do Instagram like I always do. I'll do my TikTok. Blue Sky now, that's the popular thing that people are going to. Fan base, I'm already on fan base, so I'm there also. So I have no use for Twitter. So could that be part of the process in LeBron's mind? Could be. Could it be that, you know, he's getting scrutiny for the situation with Bronny James, especially now with Bronny getting the specialized treatment down there in the G League? I didn't really get to speak to that, but supposedly he's only playing home games. He's not traveling on the road with the team, from what I understand, which you can't let the kid do that. And that just shows you're kind of favoring the kids. So could it be that? It could be. But I hear them as far as social media, because right now, you know, there's a lot of negativity there. So if he wants to get off there, fine. You know, and Rob Parker even said, oh, he'll make a burner account. He can't stay off of social media. I don't know if I say that, because I think it's come to a point, especially in this climate, that you need to get off of there for your own mental health. I've seen players take social media breaks, and it's done wonders for them. So if that's what he wants to do, I'm fine with it. I'm not going to over-scrutinize or anything like that. Here's what it is, so I'll just leave it there. So that's that bit of news. Sad news. Bob Love, longtime Chicago Bull player, he's passed away, and that happened on actually last Monday, November 18th. And he passed away at the age of 81. So condolences to the Bob Love's family. Prayers up for you guys. A very good player for the Chicago Bulls. If when I get a chance, I get a moment to do some breaking down. I'm kind of backed up as far as that goes, guys. I got to get around to that. Maybe during this Thanksgiving break here, maybe I'll kind of put a few things together to get some extra episodes out there. We'll see. And then finally, I want to do my big five before I close. Big five for me after the past week of play. Of course, Cleveland's still number one at 17-1, guys. They do have the blemish on their record, but still they're looking head and shoulders above the rest. Second place, of course, it has to be the Boston Celtics. And now the rich get richer because Porzingis will be back. So good news for the Celtics. Third, I still have OKC there at 12-4. They're still holding it down without the likes of their guy, Chet Holmgren. That's what I forgot to mention. Isaiah Hartenstein, he's back for them, guys. So he's coming off the bench right now. He actually had a double-double in his first game back. Well, his first game with the team. 13 points and 14 rebounds. So Isaiah Hartenstein, guys, he is back for the Thunder. This is a big, big deal for them, guys. Now you got a decent big man there. I'm sure they're going to work him in slow, but I think eventually he could end up in the starting lineup. So Isaiah Hartenstein back for the Thunder. So good news for them. They're third. Fourth, I still have Golden State there at 12-4. Same record as OKC. I give OKC a slight edge, but Golden State overachieving thus far, that's for sure. With all Steve Kerr, you got to give him a ton of credit over there for the job he's done. And then fifth place, I'm staying with the Houston Rockets. 12-6, guys. They've been playing well. As I said, M.A. Aduka doing a fine job with that squad over there, maneuvering all the pieces. So, Houston. But you got teams breathing down their neck, guys. Like the Lakers, I said, they're starting to come on. So, things could get a little shaky come my week six wrap-up. So, we'll see what happens. All right, guys. So, that's it for me. I thank you for listening, as always. All things basketball with GD.com is the website. There you can find all my episodes, whether it be audio or video. It's all there, guys. My donate buttons. You know, as you notice, guys, in my scroll, I have all my ways to donate there. I have my email address as well. That's sportsdudegd@gmail.com. That's the email. All my Cash App is there. My PayPal's there. My Buy Me a Coffee's there. The only thing that isn't there is my Spotify button. But that's on the website, just like a few of the other ones you see there. And podcast platforms, I'm on all of them, guys. Apple, leave reviews, guys. Wherever you see them at, see me at, leave reviews. 5 stars, guys. 5 stars for your boy. YouTube, I'm there as well. Like the videos. Comment if you like as well. I got my full episodes there. I got my shorts there as well, so check them out. Social media, I just talked about that a minute ago. IG, I'm there heavy. TikTok is where I do my shorts and my advertising and all that stuff. Facebook, I'm there somewhat. And Twitter, you already know. I already talked about them. I'm getting off of there. Blue Sky, that's what I got to start advertising. Blue Sky, I'm on there, guys. So look me up there. I can't think of the handle right now, but maybe I'll put it in the scroll for next week. We'll see. All right, guys. So I thank you for listening as always. Your listenership is so important to the show, and I appreciate it. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk soon. Take care.